弟兄姐妹早上好。That's all I know. No, actually I know more. It's a great privilege and honor to share God's word with us this morning. If you will remember, last weekend, we had Elder Edric to share the word of God with us in the morning on Sunday. And we remember at the very beginning, he actually pulled out a list of Chinese words of blessing. And he listed each and every one of them. And I think what was even more cool was that he read each and every one to us. Did y'all remember that? Can you remember the words of blessings? This morning, I thought as I start off, before we look at the scripture, I want to pull out one totally Chinese, totally biblical word of blessing for us together. And it's this. Fu Bei Man Yi. This word of blessing is taken from Psalms 23 verse 5, which says this: You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And the rendition for my cup overflows in the Chinese version is Fu Bei Man Yi. King David, while he was writing this psalm, the cup that he's referring to is the cup of blessings that the Lord, as we sees him as our great shepherd, would bless us with. And so on that note, the Mandarin version renders this phrase, my cup overflows, as Fu Bei Man Yi. If you know a little bit more about Chinese words, I thought it's even more interesting when you see that actually this word Fu consists of three different parts. The first part is this, Shen Zi Bian, it means God. The second part comes with Yi Kou, or literally one mouth. And finally, the third part is this Tian, which means farm or garden. And so if you put the three parts together, you actually have one mouth, literally, or it implies a man working in the garden and walking intimately in a relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, this is the origin of the blessing of God. Does it remind you of something in the Bible? Genesis chapter 3, when God created Adam and Eve, and God put Adam in that garden to look after it, and he was walking with God closely. The blessings in our life does not first of all consist of just how much we have or how much we do not have. The blessings of God, the very beginning of the blessings of God, comes from the fact that Fu is a living, dynamic, intimate relationship with God, that this Creator God would offer to walk with us in a personal way. And so, how about, let's take a minute or two, turn to two or three people and bless them with these words and say, may your cup overflows, Fu Bei Man Yi. And let's do that together, shall we? Turn to two or three people and let's just wish them Fu Bei Man Yi. Yeah! Thank you, Lord! Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. Thank you, God, that you are the source of all our blessings. We thank you, God, that we can be in this place to worship you and that we have this privilege to come into this blessing to know you and to be known by you and to journey with you in our lives. Father, you are our greatest treasure. And this morning we call to you and say, Lord, would you continue to help us to be in a posture to receive your blessing, so that as we are blessed, Lord, we can be a blessing wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The topic that I'm going to share this morning is grace for good works. I like the two words below that says good works. Now, all of us who believe in Jesus know that good works does not save us. But yet, if you say that you believe in Jesus, and if you say that you try, you are living a life of faith, and that you are putting the words of God into application into your life, then may I suggest to all of us that good works will be an overflow of that intimate relationship that you have, that it will become the fruits in your life, that wherever you are, you will be always abounding with the good works that God has called you and blessed you to do. But what's even more amazing too is the other word that is up there that says grace. This grace is the empowerment, the enablement that comes from on high that God would give to us so that we can do the good works that He calls us to do. It is not just I decided I want to do something and be nice to somebody and I go about doing it. This grace of God is the empowerment that comes from God upon our lives, providing godly resources, whatever that is needed to do the good works that He has called us to. And so it is God that gives, it is God that empowers, and it is a God that energizes us to do the good works that He calls us to do. You know, another way I like to think of this is blessing in action. That how has the grace of God that has come upon us, that our life becomes like an adventure of blessing. We step out of our house, we know that we are on the road as you are going to work or wherever, we will be blessing people along the way. Blessing is an action word. It is not just I sit and I receive, but it's an action word that as we receive, we be the blessing. If you forget about everything that I said today, please remember this, that as you have been blessed, be a blessing to others. You have been blessed because God loves you, God wants a relationship with you, and He is looking for opportunities where when you are in that right posture, God blesses you, and in doing so, you will be blessed. So bless as you have been blessed. Before we look at the scripture, I'd like to tell a little story. I pull up from the internet. This place is called West Palm Beach, Florida. Nice, right? The picture. It's definitely a nice place. It's an expensive place, but it's also a happening place. There was once a family that was staying in one of the houses in this place here. Now what happens was that there was a TV crew that was doing filming around that area, and they had an eye on the front yard of the house that this family was staying. And so the TV crew contacted the family and asked for permission to use the front yard as a set for a popular TV series. But they also say that the filming would include violent car crashing, explosion, or something like that. The family thought about it and said, okay, go ahead. And so, on the fateful day, lights, camera, actions, explosion goes on, the car crashed into the front yard, and the real owner of the house was being informed about what was happening. And in anger, he called to the family and demanded an answer from them, what has happened to my house? If you were the owner of that house, how would you feel? How rude, how could these people do? They are apparently just only tenants in that place, you know, and they have the audacity to make decisions like that. The point of the story is this. That you know what? Many times we live our lives with the mistaken impression that everything in our life belongs to me alone. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, that all of us, we are bought with a great price. And all of us, one day, will have to give, while we celebrate and rejoice that Jesus comes back, and we pray and we look forward to that day. But we all know too, that one day, all of us will have to stand before God and give an account to Him for how we spend our lives, how we spend our money, our possessions, and everything else. And also to realize that actually all that has been blessed upon us does not belong to us. They actually belongs to God, who blesses us bountifully, richly, so that we know that we belong to Him. As we continue our blessing campaign, one of the thoughts as I was preparing this message was this, that you know what? All our lives we are supposed to be good stewards of all that God has blessed us with. But it's not meant for us to keep alone. It was meant to be that we, as we have been blessed, we bless those that is around us. So that when Jesus Christ comes, He can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? Let me give you a little bit of background to the text that we're going to look at. We will look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. But primarily, we will look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 to 15. But before that, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, asking them for a collection or an offering to be taken up for the needy believers in Judea. What happens was that back in Judea or in Jerusalem, there was a famine that was happening over there. And Paul is writing to them and asking them to give generously for the believers that were in need at that point in time. And with that, Paul was also trying to teach them some principles about Christian living that I think all of us would benefit from learning from Paul. If you could spare with me your imagination for a while. Paul, when he first visited Corinthians, though, let's imagine this is where Corinth is. Paul came to Corinthians and then he shared with them about the needs in Jerusalem. And you know what happens? The believers there were so excited about it. And they said, "Yes, I want to give. Yes, this is good. We will give to the needy believers." And they were so overwhelming responsive that Paul was so blessed to see their responses. Then from Corinth here, Paul went on his journey to this place called Macedonia, where he began to talk to all the churches that were there. Now the churches in Macedonia were not as rich or as wealthy as the Corinthians. But however, because Paul was so inspired by their generosity, Paul began to tell of them not only of the needs, but also the generosity of the believers in Corinth. And that greatly encouraged the churches in the whole of Macedonia. And despite their poverty and their lack of finances, they gave generously for the purposes of God. Now I'll read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It's not in the slides if you listen with me together. It says this, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints." Meaning, write to them about the needs that is there. Superfluous, the word implies unnecessary. Now why would Paul say that? Now in verse 2 he says this, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about to you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia Achaia is where Corinth come from, has been ready since last year. And your zeal has stirred up most of them. So, when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, what happens was this. He started here, he shared about the needs, they were so eager and willing, and then he moved on to Macedonia, and he told them about needs, and they were all encouraged by the generosity, and they all gave. And then, almost a year, the time has lapsed, and Paul, in writing 2 Corinthians 9, Paul is telling them, where is your money? Where is the love offering that you have promised to give, but you have not given? See, the problem is, or the irony is, this, that while the church in Corinth was so excited and willing to give, they have not actually given. And so Paul, in writing this, is telling them, hey, remember your promise. Keep your promise. You know, when I was just reading the background of this story, I felt that there was a lesson for me to learn. You know what is that lesson? It's this. To be willing is great. To put to action is even better. You know, sometimes or many times, I'm guilty of this too. I have good intentions, but they are never enough. You know our Chinese saying, 行动不如行动. You can feel with all you want. You can even hear if the person that shares the need is really have a very moving or touching story, or you watch something, and you can have all those flutterings inside your heart. But it is only when you actually put it into action that is what counts. The other thing that I find that is very significant is this. Now, if you remember, last week when Elder Edric preached, he was taking the text from Acts chapter 10. And it was the fact that Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Now that is a significant event, because what happens was this. If you remember, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost upon those disciples that were waiting at the upper room, and they were in Jerusalem. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the church was established. But at that point in time, the church at that point was primarily Jewish people. And you know what? Just like all our carnal nature, when we receive the blessings of God, the tendency of it is usually, this is me, mine, and myself. And that the tendency of the Jewish, the church in Jerusalem, which are mainly Jews, is that the blessings of God has come, it is for them only. In fact, the Jews have to cross mental obstacles and cultural obstacles, because for them, it is not right to enter into a house of a Gentile, because they consider them as unclean or not like them who are chosen by God. And so for Peter to be able to enter into the house of Cornelius, he actually have crossed mental and cultural barriers so that that blessing from God will flow not only to the Jews now, will flow even to the Gentiles, whom they think is something less of them. And so, what was even more amazing than since then is that when by the time Paul writes this 2 Corinthians, the gospel, the blessing of God, not only started in one family in Cornelius' house, has now spread. And like a ripple effect, it has gone from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because that was the original intention of God, that as He pours out His blessing, it was meant to be for all the nations of the world. And so by the time Paul writes 2 Corinthians, the gospel has already gone beyond. Now, the other amazing thing was this, that now as the blessing from Jerusalem starts come to Corinth and then to Macedonia, now what happens? They are in trouble because of a famine and they are not able to make ends meet. the churches here now, supposedly Gentile churches, they take up an offering and they gave it as a blessing back to Jerusalem. Wow! What an amazing God He is to be able to bind us together in such a way. Now, in encouraging the Corinthians to give and to fulfill their promise, Paul used two examples. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, first example that he uses was the Macedonian churches. You see in the screen here, it says this: "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." Notice I highlighted grace. It is the empowerment. The empowerment of God has come upon the churches in Macedonia. Why? "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they give according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." Paul did not chocho them, did not say, play the guilt trip or whatever. It was for them, generously, willfully, joyfully giving. And what I like is the last verse. It says, "begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." And so, in blessings, in being a blessing, first of all, the Macedonian churches know that first of all, what they give is first of all, they give themselves to God. "God, I posture myself as I worship you. I posture myself. I open up my heart to you so that you can, your blessings, whatever, will flow." And so they give themselves to the Lord first. And then to the purposes of God. That whatever the needs are, whatever that is, as God would highlight through Paul and different ones, there I will be that blessing. So the giving is first to God and not just because of the needs. Now the second example that Paul uses was the Lord Jesus himself. Chapter 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by you his poverty that you by his poverty might become rich." Does this verse remind you of another passage of scripture? As I was reading this verse, the passage of scripture that came to my mind was Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, where Jesus himself gave up everything that is up there in heaven and became like one of us. And not only he's like one of us, he's among the least of all. And not only that, he was obedient to God even to the point of dying at the cross. That is the God that we are talking about. Jesus who gave everything so that we might become rich in him. At the count of three, can we all read these three verses together? 1, 2, 3. Second Corinthians 9:5-7. At a quick glance of it, you will see that there are actually two types of giving. One that give in exaction, meaning you felt that it's being demanded upon you, that you have no choice but to give. That give sparingly, that give reluctantly or under compulsion. But on the other side, there's another type of giving that gives willingly, bountifully,
cheerfully.
Now you take a look at this word sparingly. Think with me for a phrase that says this. Spare my life. Have you heard of this phrase? Spare my life. Spare my life means hold back. Don't take my life. Correct? Spare no efforts means hold back no effort. That means give all your efforts. But yet, okay, if you look at the three in that type of giving, there is this tendency to hold back. So the essence, first of all, of the wrong type of giving comes from a heart that wants to hold back. It was John Piper who says this: there are enough external constraints and pressures to make us give something. But the real feeling of our heart is not to think of how much we can give, but how much we can keep. Contrast what I've just said about sparingly to this verse that we read earlier. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. It says this: God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? See the contrast? Well, if we do not understand who God is, and that you are the kind that is under the compulsion, or that you feel that you have to give because everybody gives, you have a tendency to hold back. But here on the contrast, the God that we know does not hold back anything at all. Paul, in listing out this, is to tell us this is not the way to give. There was a lady who takes care of missionary kids. Okay, they have this boarding house, and she's one of the house lady that in charge of missionary kids who goes there and stay while the parents are serving God in the mission field. Now, this lady loves to read books, and so she would have a library, and she puts up some of the books for the children to read. But because she really, 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 really likes to read books, then you know what happens? Those books that are really, 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 really nice to her, you know, she took it aside, and she put it in a nice cupboard, or a box or a drawer, and push it underneath her bed. Only in her free time, she will come out and take the book and run through each one of them lovingly, and then put them back and push it back again. One night, while she was sleeping, she heard some sound. And she was wondering, what's wrong? And so she went around the whole house to search and see what's happening. And then, to her horror, she realized that the sound comes from her own room. And when she went to her own room, to her horror, she realized that the sound comes from underneath her bed. And she pulled out the drawer, and this is what is left. Termites has come in and ate up every one of the books that she so preciously treasured. What we give away, we keep. What we hoard, we lose. Hoarding sometimes means we hold back from God what belongs to God. I had a friend who is a pastor's wife with me as my classmate in when I was in YWAM doing my DTS. Now during that time, we know that YWAM base, certain people have certain needs, and so in our class time, we had a time of every one of us waiting on God and asking if God would allow, would put into our hearts, how much should we give towards the needs. And so this friend of mine, she waited on God, and she felt the Lord wanted her to give a certain amount, which is about $500. Okay, now, she's married, and her last son, 12 years old, was studying in Singapore at that point in time. And that money that she had was actually meant to be for her son's education. And so in the midst of prayer and waiting on God, she really felt that that was the impression that God has given to her, that to give that money for that purposes. And she struggled. Oh, how? Then what about my son's education? If I give that, I got no money already. No, how? This isn't this crazy and stuff like that? And so she began. And finally, through all the struggle, she said, God, I surrender. My son belongs to you. He knows what you're doing. And he surrendered it. You know, the moment she wrote down the amount that she's going to give and she told the person that's organizing it, hey, this is what I'm going to give. The next moment she turned around, someone else walked up to her, one of my classmates too. And what? Handed her a hand like that. Lah. She took it. It was exactly $500 that she has just pledged to give. And this person says, I don't know why, but God just impressed upon my heart so strongly that this money belongs to you. The point of the lesson is this. Don't hold back what God has put in your hand. Of course, we all walk closely with God. And the point of a lesson is, whatever God says, I will do because His blessings will always flow in my life. I'm blessed so that I can be a blessing. Now let's look at how to give. Give on the basis of blessing. Our giving should rest upon the great truth that God is a bountifully blessing God. And then our give in turn should be a bountiful blessing to others. Give from a point of wanting to share. Because God has given me, I like to share with you at the same time. Now, somewhere at the end of last year, I met a very wonderful auntie that's in a midweek fellowship. She came up to me and introduced herself and I says, oh, I know that you are helping out, you are involved in this blessing campaign. Oh, can I tell you my story about my things that God has led me to do? And I said, sure. And so she ended up writing a whole a piece of paper, letter, typing it up, telling me about the things that God has led her to do to bless others. Time does not allow me to tell you all the things that she has done. But what caught my attention was this, or really blessed my heart was this. This auntie was always on the lookout, like a binoculars. She was always, oh, my neighbor, a father, the mommy is not at home, with three kids, three boys. Oh, and then the two boys are sick, you know. Oh, what should I do? And straight away she went and cooked some soup or buy some things to help improve the health. Knock, knock, knock. Nah, this is for your son. The family like don't have a lot of furniture, then maybe they need a blessing. Went back home the next day, take a little ampao. Nah, this is for you. And her eyes are always on the lookout for her friends, her family members. To me, wow, this auntie reflects who God is. Do you know what, brothers and sisters? God's eyes are always on the lookout. Looking out for any one of us who would in this posture to wait and receive from Him. And the moment God sees, because His heart is full of blessing, says, oh, you're ready. One blessing for you. So that as you receive the blessing, you are so overwhelmed with the gratefulness to God that you are willing to share it to people that is around. And that is the kind of God that we are talking about. That His intention for us is always to bless us. Now the other couple, Jeff and Donna Romack, they were my teachers in YWAM. They are from America and they've worked for a period of time. And then the Lord called them to the Philippines to be missionaries. In fact, they were part of quite a move of God in the Philippines during that period of time. But what happened was this. In the class, he was telling us this story where he was just about to go in the mission field. Now, having worked for a few years, they have a house, they have a car, and they've gained quite a few possessions in their life. And so when everything else is settled, the air ticket is bought already, one of the last things that they have to do is to give away everything that they have. Because they're not coming back. They know it's not going to be, they're not going to be back for at least 10 years. So why keep the house? Why keep the, that's how they felt. And so the first time to give away. It's like, ah, you mean my this super nice television that has all the whatever? And the first one was very, very difficult for them to give. And they give. Then the second. Then the third. Then by the time they give the very last furniture away, you know what my teacher says? They have never felt such a freedom in their life that they are not attached to any more of those possessions so that they can serve God freely. I'm not saying that therefore today all of us go and give your things away. But if you remember what our SP says, he says, hold everything but loosely, except the word of God and your relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that nothing will stand in the way between us and God and what He wants us to do. And so, give from a heart that wants to share things. Something has happened in the heart of those so that the basic desire for us is to give and share as much as possible rather than to keep as much as possible. You know, it's like a magnet. Something happens in our hearts. It's like a magnet. You know, magnet always pull things towards you, right? But then, because of the grace of God upon us, the magnet now changed. Instead of pulling towards us, it's pushing things away so that other people will be blessed. With the two types of giving reveals two different types of hearts because we see God in the wrong way. The person who gives sparingly sees God as a taker, sees God is demanding, and when this person looks at God, he feels drained and depleted. Oh no, no, another need some more. Oh, another sharing, another newsletter. Oh no, what am I supposed to do? On the other hand, the person who gives joyfully sees God as the supplier and the giver. That God is not demanding. And when he looks to God and he participates in what God wants him to do, he feels replenished and not drained. Therefore, one of the biggest questions in our life that we have to ask ourselves is, how do you see God? Do you see God as someone that is a taker in your life that demands this, demands that, demands this, demands that, do your quiet time, do this, do that? Or do you see God as one who blesses us and like a loving father who will always be there for us and will provide for us? We will see in the next three verses how God is a giver and not a taker in our lives. Shall we read this at a count of three together? One, two, three. Second Corinthians 9:8-10. So God is, first of all, on one hand, He is the one who supplies and gives. You can see that from verse 8 itself. It says, God is able to make all grace abound. Okay, and so God is the one that supplies. But there is just one side of it only. The other side is this, that as we have received and we abound and we give, God is the one that will give us the reward of seeing whatever that we have sowed in faith, the returns of those things. Verse 6 and verse 9 are connected about sowing. Verse 6 uses an imagery of sowing seeds bountifully, like a farmer. The farmer has no control of the weather. The farmer sows seeds out in faith, trusting and believing that God is the one that will bring forth the rain and eventually the harvest in due season. In verse 9, Paul uses an illustration of a person who sows bountifully. And he connects verse 6 and verse 9 together. The sowing of seed and the distributing freely refers to the free and generous giving of help to meet the needs of the people. Remember, we talk about there's a need in Jerusalem where the saints are in difficulty. And so the sowing of the seeds and the distribution, Paul is teaching them, you give to the needs of the people that is there. But what's even more amazing is verse 10, that you see that God is the one who gives. Verse 10 connects verse 9 back to God, where it says, God provides seed for those who sow. And so, first of all, it is God that provides. But yet, at the same time, as you sow in faith, you will reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? A harvest of righteousness. As you sow out in faith, you are trusting that God is the one that will bring forth the fruits. And what are the fruits? A life change, a family touch, people coming to know the Lord, the kingdom of God, the gospel of God continue to flow, the blessing of God continue to flow through. That is that harvest that we're praying, that as we go out and sow in faith, we believe that God is the one that will bring forth the right kind of harvest. Can we read these four verses together at a count of three? 1, 2, 3. And reach. Second Corinthians 9:11-14. As a result of sowing in faith and generously, we see God as the absolute giver. These are the results that we can pull out from that four verses that we read. The first thing is that as you are in a posture and you receive the blessing from God, and as you bless and you see people being blessed, there is a greater willingness to be generous and be a blessing. Something happens in our hearts as you reach out and bless somebody and you begin to see the heart of God. You have a greater capacity to do more of it, more generosity. The second thing is this, that we have a thanksgiving to God, that it is still not about ourselves, it's all about God, and God gets the glory. The third thing is the joy in seeing God meet the needs of others. Nothing beats seeing someone coming to know God and a life being changed by God. No money, nothing of the world can fill in that satisfaction that we feel when we see someone comes to know God. And that joy will last. And finally, the love shed among those who give and those who receive. Remember, the Corinthian church, the Macedonian church, give to the churches in Jerusalem. And in that giving, the bond of love ties them together so that they are never apart. Hey, they are not neighbors or relatives. No. They are somebody that they don't even know and they are so far away. But because they name the name of Christ and they are in the same family of God together, and as you give because of God's love, that love binds them all together. I'd like to close our morning time together by sharing with you about a man who have influenced my life in a very big way. This man's name is called Keith Green. He has passed on already. And this is a book that is written by his wife about his life. And it's called No Compromise. I think the younger ones may not know who this fella is. If you're about my age, probably you know who he is. Okay, he's quite an amazing guy. Now what happens is this. There's two things in his life that really, really reminds me as I was preparing message that highlights what kind of a person he is. You know, in America, there's a huge country, the expressway, there are people who like to hitchhike. And so sometimes you pick up a person hitchhiking, you know, you drive him for 1 hour, not 1 hour, half a day to the place or wherever they need to go. Keith Green loves to do driving and picking up people who are hitchhiking. And sometimes the people that he picks up will be staying as far as one day away. And so you know what? The moment the guy goes up into his car, he has a captive audience. And he'll drive one day, send him to his home, and he'll drive another day back home. And with that, as he locks the car and went to his room and looked at his wife, you know what he says? One more soul safe for the glory of God. Wow. The other thing is this, that both of them comes from the hippie culture. You know, sex la, drugs la, spirituality, trying to, you know, find out who God is and all those things. And they were saved during that time. They have a house and they open up their house for all these people to stay in. And he and his wife would spend hours ministering to their needs 24/7, and sometimes even their own wallet was stolen from the money, and Keith would say, God will always provide. And it was out of that experience that Keith wrote this song, Go to the Hungry Ones and fill them with His bread. They'll leave their darkness as you shine the light He shed. Point to His promises. Believe in what He said, and His joy will be manifest in you, and the lost will be found as He works through you. The second stanza says this, is your house open to let strangers in? Why? Because He did that. Give to the least of them and show them someone cares, and you may be entertaining angels unaware, and His joy may be manifest in you. I want to close our time by watching a video. It's called Ripples. That the act of blessings that we do will be like a ripple effect that blesses people around. Shall we watch the video together?
May I have this?
No. Why don't you get something special for Grandpa? I'm sorry. Can I return the cake, please?
Sure, yes.
I want the cake, please. I won't ask for anything else.
Next time, okay? When we can afford it?
Last time you said that.
You don't want that? I'll take it back. Hey. Hello. This is for you.
No, we cannot accept it.
Would you please?
There's no reason for you to buy the cake for us.
Well, when I was 7, my mother wanted to buy me a cake.
Mommy, I want this one!
By the counter, we didn't have enough.
Get something else.
It's my birthday today. Can I choose my own cake, please?
I'm sorry.
Then, There's this man. I've never met him before.
Here, have the cake. Happy birthday.
I didn't know his name. I never got a chance to say thank you. I've never forgotten about him. The man in the queue.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Can I have your contact number? Let me repay you when we have the money.
Promise me something, okay? Someday, when you're able to help somebody, you will do it.
May I know your name, mister?
Well, I'm the man in the queue.
This is my favorite. Thank you.
Let's go and put some candles.
Oh, careful. Aiyah, he shouldn't have spent the money.
Actually, I came and paid for it.
He gave me this note.
Please write down your address. I'll bring the money back to you later.
Simple act of caring creates an endless ripple.
Matthew chapter 10 verse 8 says this: freely you have received, freely give. I like this video because of the title. It says ripples. The church on the day of Pentecost was established, and that blessing of God came, and it did not stay in Jerusalem. It went to Judea, to Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. In fact, Singapore, we are also a recipient of that blessing, if not for the missionaries that at their own great personal sacrifices would come and bring the blessing of God to this place. This morning, as we close church, will we agree together in heart and spirit that BBTC, we will be a church that the blessing of God will continue to grow like ripples that touches not only Bedok but Tampines and everywhere as God would lead us to be. Shall we rise and worship the Lord together?
Pastor Waken this morning has reminded us that as Christians, as believers, we have been blessed to bless others. And the blessing campaign, brothers and sisters, is not just something for you to do here and now, but we hope that it becomes something that we do as second nature to us. In the first service, Pastor Waken said something which not everybody caught, but he encourages us to use this blessing campaign as a campaign to make blessing a way of our lives, not to make this a blessing complaint, right? That some of us actually, you know, why do I have to do this? Right? Make it second nature. He also encourages us from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 that the Lord Jesus, though He is rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we may become rich. But there's also another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 where the Lord will cause grace to abound in each one of us. so that we will have every sufficiency for every good work. And that, brothers and sisters, is the mystery of blessing others. That we do not become poorer because we bless someone else, but God makes us richer. That's the mystery of God's economy. That when we are able and we are willing to obey Him and to brighten the corner where we are, then God will enrich us. So this song we're going to sing together, because we have received freely. So brothers and sisters, freely give. The Lord has stirred your heart today to respond. You come forward, build the altar before the Lord, and let's give all praise and thanks to Him, even as we sing.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He said, freely, freely, you have received. Freely, freely, yeah. Go in my name, and because you may be, others will know that I live.
Generous God. Thank you, Father, your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. Your love, O God, never comes to an end. And that, Father, Lord, your goodness and your mercy is there new every morning. And we pray, Father, Lord, from the generosity, Lord, of your love, from the inexhaustible reservoir of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And Father, likewise, we may all be encouraged, Father, to make spiritual investments, doing good, showing compassion, giving glory, Lord, to you by the outworking of our faith manifested in good works. May you give us boldness and courage. May you give us eyes of faith, Lord, to seek out the needy, Lord, in every situation. May you place us, O Father, in our homes and our offices, that these places may be brightened because we are there. May you place us in relationships, that these relationships will prosper and grow closer because we are in it. Because we are children, sons and daughters of the all-powerful God. We are your ambassadors, Lord. We are channels of your blessings. So help us, Lord, to be a blessing, to be a credit to others around us, for your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Church, the service is over. The Lord bless all of you.